Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. And now, part two from yesterday's episode. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now, your host, T.S. Wright.
The thing, Scotty, before we run out of time, I know we're pressed here. I want to say this, that in our current culture today and what we're facing right now, one of the things it's been going on for a while, but it's to me, it's at the peak. And when I visit with coaches and talk to coaches, I ask them, what's the biggest challenge you're facing today?
Sure.
Right? I want to know what they're saying. What is it that you're seeing that you're facing in being a leader or your team and all? And there's different things athletically, they say, right? Putting a team together today is very difficult because of the self-centeredness and selfishness that has been bolstered through selfies and everything else, right? And unfortunately, travel, and I step on some toes here, but the travel baseball, the travel basketball, all the soccer, all the things that they do all year round now and what we're seeing nationwide is that we're finding kids that are feeling that their self-worth, their self-value is tied up in how many points they can score, how many people they can strike out, how many hits or home runs they have, how many touchdowns, how many passes they catch. And you can have a team win a big game, and I've started observing this, and we should be celebrating it. There's two or three faces that are frowning and not happy because they didn't have one of those great nights, and they feel like they've been a failure, and they may have to go home and hear it, how come you fumbled tonight?
Right.
And so with that, we're seeing a lot of broken. We're seeing kids quit sports at an earlier age than they ever have since they started taking numbers and tracking
this.
Because they're burnt out, they're hurting because they can't be the success that has been presented to them, right?
Yes.
They don't understand their role. They don't understand everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan. Not everybody's going to fill in the blank, right? But with that, we're seeing those kids, they're coming to the, I hate to use the word, end of themselves, but they're getting so much so fast. They're seeing there's an emptiness in this.
Yeah.
And they're coming, they're more open. There's a segment that is more open to truth. Sounds so simple.
Yeah.
But just to hear somebody speak truth to them and take them to the source of truth that you're loved and you're cared for regardless how many times you strike out.
Amen.
They need to hear that.
Yes.
And we're seeing on campuses, college, you'll start look at Ohio State and some of their players and what's been going on there. We're seeing that begin to resonate in these kids' life. And there is a difference. There's a marked difference. Some are still chasing it, but others are finding that rainbow at the end of it, college scholarship and everything, is a little empty.
Yep.
And when they hear truth, they're gravitating towards. So I think that we're on the cusp of a really great, I hate to use the word revival, but to me, it's an awakening, you know, it's on our campuses, and FCA is on most college campuses and most high school, lots of high school campuses, and hoping we can position ourselves, the ministry, the vehicle. It's a vehicle to get us to be able to share the gospel.
Amen.
It isn't a gospel, but it's the vehicle.
That's right.
To get us there.
Amen. And, you know, we, part of, you know, this ministry, as you're getting to know the ministry that we have here, is that the calling that I had put on my life was to help spark a great harvest. Mm-hmm. That's the name the Holy Spirit has put it on my heart all the time, is it's great harvest. And it's exactly what you're talking about. There's this, it feels like there's definitely a field out here that is ready to start harvesting.
Yes,
it is. And these seeds being planted, and it's what you said, there's an emptiness, and people are trying to figure out what the problem is. And the problem is, like you said, they don't have truth in their life. And what it is that truth is our foundation, and that foundation is found in Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's the rock. He is. He's the foundation that we need to build our lives on, not how many touchdown passes I threw, or how many three-pointers I hit, or how many home runs
strikeouts. There's never enough.
No.
It's never enough.
It's never. And even how much, you know, this may not have been an athlete, how much money you make, or, you know, if, you know, how many cars you have, all those type of things, there, it's never going to be enough. It'll satisfy for a few minutes, and then it'll pass on, and then you'll be like, well, what's next?
I sat in my office in Southside a couple of years before I left, and the same thing happened at Bentonville. After coming home from Little Rock with the state championship,
and
somebody brought the trophy in, set it on my desk. This literally happened in both schools, separate years, obviously. And 3-hour ride on the bus, get home. Everybody's happy. It is. It's a wonderful time.
Right.
But I mean, you didn't have a good year if you didn't win it either.
Right.
I mean, I was runner up 3 times too.
Sure.
That didn't mean we had a terrible year. But I'll never forget this. Happened in both schools. Meaning well. Good folks, parents walked in, helping unload the buses, get the stuff off. And coach, great job. Happened at Southside, happened at Bentonville. Great job, great year. You think we can do it again next year? And I begin to say, could give us 24 hours to enjoy this.
Yes, exactly.
But that's meaning well, understanding,
sure,
that kid's returning, that it's never enough. It's always about the next deal.
That's right.
And that's a terrible way to live life.
Yes.
And that's what, whether it's Walmart USA, Tyson's,
yep,
you know, we live here in one of the hubs of economic growth right now,
oh,
and
yeah,
prosperity. And it's fine, but it's, I'm finding from all stratas doing discipleship with men, and they're at that, so what?
Exactly right.
What's next?
Yeah.
And it's never enough.
No.
You get 5 minutes to celebrate it, and then your sales you gotta meet the sales next year. You know, we live in that Western culture where that's just, you get rewarded, you get a new job, get a promotion when you do well, and that's, I get that. We don't reward somebody that sits around and twiddles their thumb, and,
right,
and it causes your company to lose money,
right?
But there's a catch 22 in it. It's I call it the tentacles of the octopus that pull you into that little snow globe that you think everything in your life revolves around your success and what you do,
yep,
and how you perform. And the truth is that snow globe is a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lie.
It is. It's a lie the enemy brings us in.
Yep.
And we have to remember that. I've experienced that a couple of times in my life, and it's funny how the Holy Spirit has pulled me out of that thinking. And like, even with this,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm glad he did, because I couldn't be sitting in front of you guys right now having this conversation with Coach Lunny and running this ministry had I still had that type of thinking and had the Holy Spirit not pull me out. You know, even with our ministry, our goal is to reach a certain number in raising support. And then from there, it's just going to be helping other ministries.
Yeah.
you know, we want to be able to do that as I'm able to transition to full time and doing that and having enough support where we can just run this thing on autopilot and financially. And then the rest of it, we just want to help other ministries. We want to help get the word out with everything we do. So this,
yes,
you know, we're growing in this ministry. And I know FCA is a huge organization that has had an amounts of just a huge impact on so many people's lives. And if there's any way you guys can go to the website, look how you can support FCA in your local area, you know, support those FCA directors and the people doing this ministry, because there's such a void right now in these athletes and these students, these kids that are in high school and college. There's a major calling there. And I think Gen Z is starting to experience some movement. And exactly what Coach Lenny's talking about. So Coach Lenny, to wrap up, anything about FCA you want our listeners to know about that you can share before we wrap up the show here?
Yeah, well, I think we've covered, Scotty, mostly. It's, again, I think the important thing, and the older I got, the more I realized this, is we talk about supporting ministries. Several years ago, I sat down and went through my checkbook, where I'm pouring, giving my money to support ministry.
Right.
And I was on a couple of boards that were good. They're good. They are good, but they're good stuff. They really are.
Yes.
But I had to really do an evaluation of the time and the limited resources I have. Where can I make the greatest impact?
Yes. Amen.
And when I started looking at it, and the Lord through prayer directed me to some, because here's what I do know. God's word, and I've said this many times, is truth. I've been really impressed over the last 5-6 years when I've spoken to FCA groups, even in Christian schools.
Sure.
Is to ask them certain things out of the Bible, just basic things, and ask honest hands.
Right.
And I've been a little disappointed and taken back, but probably I shouldn't be surprised, the lack of understanding that our young people have about Scripture.
Right. Yes.
And they're in a war.
Yes.
The enemy is after our children, and it's always been that, to get them young and divert them. And so my ask would be to find the places, the people, the ministries that are sharing the truth, and ask the kids and people involved, where are you getting your truth?
That's right. Yeah.
And really, we've become apologists. You know, the Lord, yes, I didn't really understand years and years ago. We need to be discipling people, young people, old people, everybody, on how to be apologists, how to defend the faith, how to share faith, but be able to defend it. Why do you believe what you believe?
Yep, that's right.
And where are you getting your information? Till that's solved in their minds and their hearts, all relative.
That's right. Yeah.
Your truth may not be that. So ministries that are doing that, people that are doing that, individuals that are doing that, to me, need to be the ones we're yoking with the best,
yes,
we can, praying for, nothing else.
That's right.
Because the battle is over the Word of God. It always has been.
Yes.
From Genesis 3.
That's right. All the way through Revelation.
It's all been about his work.
Yep, that's right.
And we've never lived in a time where the deceiver and the people who deceive, they've been teaching it in our schools and our college campuses for years and years and years and years. And so we've got to find a way to recapture that. And to me, it's finding and supporting people. I think any ministry, just find those people that are doing that. And yoke with them, because that's the battle, to me, is the word.
That's right. And that is so true. The, you know, a part of our ministry is that I have written these discipleship books, lessons, and we actually cover apologetics in that. Yeah. Because and part of the discipleship process, we have four standards we teach by, you know, like a true teacher here.
Yeah.
You know,
they, oh, yeah.
We got our standards.
Yeah.
You know, same thing when we're coaching, you have standards that everybody's got to live by within that organization. But we've got four standards, 10 lessons per standard. As we get into the third and fourth lessons, we get into some apologetics.
Yep.
The reason is because sometimes what we have to do is we've got to break down and really, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, just deconstruct the lies around
us. Yes, absolutely.
And fill those with the truth of God's word.
That's right.
Because if you don't do that, you don't want your personal theology to be misaligned from God's word. You don't want it to be out of alignment.
That's right.
You know, just like you don't want the tires on your car to be out of alignment, you need to be in alignment with God's truth. And matter of fact, our first standard is embracing the truth. That's the first standard. If we don't embrace God's truth, the rest of it will not matter. Because the enemy will always be able to take us off course. We have to be in alignment.
Well, so
that's true.
Absolutely. And that goes to with, you know, what I'm saying. You, where are you getting your truth from? And so it's not that, and I always say this, it's not, listen, don't believe everything Coach Lenny's telling you.
Right.
But go to the source and look.
That's right.
And see if it matches up. If it's not matching up, then kick it out, spin it.
That's exactly right.
And if you will, let me go about the cycle of what you're doing, right? Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Scotty, when you were playing for Coach Johnson.
Yes.
If he was late for practice and didn't show up for some reason, and he called you, could you lead that team through a Mickey Johnson practice? Did you instruct those? And no, you knew what a Saturday morning practice was after Friday.
Yes.
Could you take the team and get them through that?
I could have after I was on the program for a little while because it was just second nature.
Okay. You could take, which you were a great three-point shooter, you could take a sophomore that had been in the program maybe 1 year while he was working with somebody else, and you could teach him some of the things that he taught you about how to get open, how to come off the screen.
Yes.
Did you ever work on half to?
Oh, yeah. We did screen? That like okay. every day. That right. was just a part
of our routine. You could teach that, right?
Yeah.
You were a disciple
of
Mickey Johnson's basketball program at Southside High School.
That's right. Yeah.
Can we make disciples the same way today in the spiritual realm?
That's right.
But we haven't. And I'm not saying everybody by any stretch.
Sure.
But we're not, Jesus' command was go. He didn't say go make Christians.
No.
Uh-oh. He didn't say go make churchgoers.
No.
Don't go make members of FCA.
No.
Go make disciples.
That's exactly right.
We're not reproducing. We're not teaching kids. And there's not a better example than in sports at playing under a great teacher. Mickey Johnson was one of the greatest. In my opinion, even though he was a basketball, he coached some football too. He could coach anything. He could coach tennis or anything because he knew how to instruct.
Yes.
He knew the fundamentals. And he taught and taught and taught. And his kids could regurgitate the things that he had taught them.
Yes.
That's what we need to be doing with the Word of God.
That's exactly right. Amen. Yeah. I played for Mickey Johnson for 3 years, and I can tell you that I can still probably detail out the practices just like I was had been on the court with him yesterday.
Absolutely.
And there's the thing Coach Johnson was so good at was making sure that he reinforced the fundamentals in everything we did, even in our pregame practices. I mean, there would usually he would just scale it down. But there was usually some type of something that he included that still had an element of the basic fundamentals that he wanted to make sure that were reinforced in us before the game. And so it was still coming off the screen and working on shooting. It was, you know, how do you set your man up? How do you set a good screen? So it's the same way in the Bible. And I actually allude to some of that. when we're going through our discipleship programs with people is that if you don't practice this, it doesn't matter. Matter of fact, we have a part where we talk about, and I, for lack of a better terminology, we call it, talk about myelinization and how your body reacts, and some people call it cellular memory and things that if you rehearse it enough, it will start to become ingrained in you. And that's what our Bible reading needs to be. That's what discipleship needs to be. That's what our prayer life needs to start looking like. Because as it becomes ingrained in our cellular memory, see, God, and I talk about this in the discipleship plan, is that God built you that way so that his word and his truth and his spirit, you would know how to connect, and it would just eventually become automatic. It was just like shooting that jumper. You know, eventually it just come out. I go out there and shoot now, and I can still feel that. Because how many shots did I practice? You know, your son, Barry Jr., I mean, you know, practicing his throwing. I mean, he could probably close his eyes and make those throws now. You know, still, even after all these
maybe years. One time.
Yeah, maybe once. All right. So, you know, but it's because those type of things are ingrained in our muscle memory. And it's no different with our Bible reading. It's no different with discipleship. It's got to become part of your cellular memory process.
I'm not way over time. You'll have to edit it all.
No, is that, we're going to go two parts in this one.
But
we're going to go part two.
You hit on two things. I thought about it earlier, sharing it since you hit on, I will, is my last year at Bentonville. we talk about fundamentals, right?
Right.
And if there was a key to my success, I guess, as a coach, I think it was because I learned that. It was ingrained in me by my coach. A lot of things from my coach, but it was just the little details, the fundamentals that you never can get away from fundamentals. And during my last year here, we had won the state championship in 2013. And we had most of those kids back.
Yep.
Vast majority of those kids back. So the off season, spring of that year, 2014,
yeah,
I had more kids on my football team offered Division I scholarships than I'd ever had ever in any group. I think there was like five or six that already offered the junior spring of their junior year scholarships, you know, for the next
sure.
year. And that's not counting some of the Division II and lower schools. Yeah, and I mean, you know, nice schools, you know, Stanford and several Louisville and some places, Arkansas. Preseason number one, all these guys back, won the state championship, and arguably some of the best talent I ever coached.
Sure.
Now, we're playing a really tough schedule because we couldn't get teams to play in state, so we were playing a team out of New Jersey. We played one Oklahoma. We played them from just different top programs in other states that were having the same problem getting games.
Right.
In a non-conference. We go 0-3 in the non-conference. Then we go to the first conference game back at Southside where I'd coached before, and we got beat there. We're 0-4. All four of those games, we had a defensive score against us where when we fumbled, they picked it up, went for touchdown, interception for a touchdown. But we're 0-4. But by week two, between week two and three, I started looking at our film. So what's going on here? Now, we're playing great competition, but something wasn't right. So what's my job? Head coach, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching film all morning, sitting in my office, looking. And it just dawned on me, my best players, they weren't playing terrible, but they weren't playing up to their level. And they should be, last year should be the floor for where the ceiling,
right.
They should be going up. They should be better. They weren't. They were wearing their, you know, Louisville hats to school. They're wearing their Stanford shirts. We're still high school in Bentonville.
Yeah.
And starts dawning on me. We're not really doing stuff. We go to Southside. Throw an interception, return for a touchdown. We lose the game. I said, that's it. No more. You're a Bentonville. You want to wear a hat? You're wearing a Bentonville hat. We're going to get you back. You haven't graduated yet. You haven't gone on yet.
Right.
You're not at Stanford. You can wear it on weekends, but when you walk in our facility, you're a Bentonville Tiger all the way.
Amen.
And I told our staff, we're not blocking and we're not tackling. Is that fundamental?
Yep.
In my sport, it's a fundamental.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. If you can't block and you can't tackle, you're in trouble. We went old school that week. We're playing Northside, week five, homecoming. They got one of the most dangerous offenses anyway, really good football team at that time. We didn't even touch the scouting report the first day. We just went out and we put what we call half line. We put them down, offensive guys, defensive. We got two plays we're running. Here we come. You block and you tackle. No bones about it. We're not throwing here. It's coming. We're running right at you and you got to stop them.
Yep.
We did an hour of blocking and tackling, just blocking and tackling. We're not tackling. We're not wrapping up. We're not blocking. We're not being my offensive guard going to Louisville. He's not, you know, I can go down the list of guys. Sure. Best receiver, one of the best players I've ever had, ever, probably top four or five I've ever coached. Receiver, safety. Very good. Blocking and tackling. We week five of homecoming. We kick off the north side, and they're playing the fight song. And 9 seconds later, the guy took the kick off. My kicker, who was a college kicker,
sure,
didn't kick it in the end zone for touchback. He kicked it to 1 yard line. The guy takes it back for a touchdown. Long story short, we're down 18-7.
Wow.
With about 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. 18-7.
And you're
looking at 0-5.
With the great team.
But we had started right before half running the ball, blocking and tackling.
Sure.
We got to throw the kickoff out a little bit. We ran, we're at our 45. We ran our regular zone play, just inside zone play, right behind the left guard who's going to Louisville. My star receiver had only caught one pass for the whole game. Was down there blocking the safety. My star offensive lineman blocks his guy. My back hits, makes the cut behind the center. He goes 60-something yards for a touchdown on a regular zone inside run play. Touchdown.
Wow.
18-14. We never looked back. We came back and won that game and won 9 straight and won the state championship.
Wow.
Blocking and tackling.
Tackling.
Fundamentals in anything. Fundamentals, in my opinion, you touched on it, in the Christian faith and journey, is God's word.
Yep.
And prayer.
It is. Yeah.
That's the fundamental.
We can't be spectators.
And
we got to be active participants. Yeah.
My granddaughter, she's oldest granddaughter, talked to her. She was talking about getting saved. And I said, here's your homework assignment. If you're getting saved, what are you getting saved from? And I gave her some scriptures, and you go find out.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not telling. And she came back a few weeks later, and she said, now this is might be not popular, but it's what good works is.
Yeah.
So it's from the wrath of God.
That's right. Amen.
We've got to stay in the prayer and God's word, not with Mary, thanks, not with Scotty, thanks.
Nope.
I've been wrong many times. I've asked God to forgive me for mishandling his word inaccurately at times out of my zeal, trying to talk somebody into salvation.
Right.
Like God needs my help.
Right.
He just needs my help to read his word.
That's exactly right.
And trust the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm done.
No, you're good. Hey, that's awesome. You know, and it's funny to get into some of those, to these sports stories, because there's so much crossover from our faith and in sports. It's such a microcosm of what our faith should look like. And the adversity that you go through as an athlete, through a season, through a career, really, really should show you too what faith is. Because when things are going wrong, how do you react to that? You know, how do you handle adversity? Well, guess what? Jesus gives us all those answers in the Word of God. He does. He tells us. Paul tells us how to react to this. All the scripture has an immense amount of different types of quotes and things and ways to reflect on God's work, his spirit, and how he wants you to think. And really the key element I still believe is this, is that we have to develop a mentality God.
Mm.
And that's what God does. You know, Romans 12, 2, we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's really getting a mindset around who God is and then who he says you are and then following his will. That's really what it is. And it's those elements. But it always starts with who God is. You can trust the scriptures. You can trust his salvation in the gospel. You can trust Christ. Those are the things you know. They're the same every day. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You can put your anchor on those because even when you pass away, you will have him there with you for eternity and you will be with him. So I just say this, having you on this interview has been awesome. And folks, we're going to break the show into two parts. So you'll have a part one and a part two to get to do this. But so Coach, obviously you've impacted so many people over the years and just all the things that you've gotten to do with FCA and with your coaching and all those things. How can someone get connected to learn more about FCA?
Well, probably in every community, I would hope so. Any of any size, I mean, a lot of small communities. Just check, go to your web, you know, get on the internet,
FCA.org. Yeah,
FCA.org. You can get the website of the national office, which is Kansas City.
Okay,
that can help you there. That's our national office. So look for the Kansas City national headquarters, FCA. Just get on the web; it'll come up. And find a way. They will let you know if you have an FCA in your area, your community, and you can get plugged in. Or if you don't, maybe you can help foster that, become, you know, like what I'm doing right now, being an ambassador. Maybe there is an FCA in that community, and there's an area rep that's full-time minister, and contact him or her and see, how can I plug in? Here's my guess. I had a businessman call me up and take me through a story, and he said, I don't know. He came to the FCA golf tournament, and he said, can you use me in any way? And he started telling me, and I said, absolutely. Amen. And he had a piece of land, and he was a real estate developer, and he said, could you use this? I'll donate it, if you know. And yeah, I mean, you just never know what you can do to help in that area and support the ministry. And maybe if you feel called to walk along as an ambassador or maybe even called to the ministry.
Amen.
You got a sports background. You've been kind of searching about how you can share your faith. This is an opportunity to go be a part of the ministry, FCA. So FCA, national office in Kansas City, research it on your internet in your local area, and you can probably find whether there's one there or not. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to start wrapping it up here, but we're going to include all of this in the show notes, and as well as, we will obviously put not only the FCA part, but I also am going to put we're going to have our website. Our website's been updated for you guys to be able to tap into and learn more about what our ministry stands for and what we do as well. But it very much is like FCA. We're into discipleship. Discipleship is the key. It's whether we're on here on the podcast, whether we're on our TV show, whether I'm working with a group face to face, whether we're online working through the discipleship plan, it's a very much a lot like FCA in many ways. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode, and we appreciate you spending this time with us and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. If you enjoyed what you heard, we kindly ask that you hit the subscribe or follow button and give us a like. Your support, again, allows us to keep producing content and sharing these experiences with you, ensuring we can continue to grow and bring you more enriching content in the future. Obviously, go to our website. We're always looking for ministry partners for you to come in and obviously give us financial support so we can continue to develop and grow the ministry as well. On behalf of myself and Coach Lunny, and I always call him Coach, and it's funny, you guys know me as TS. He calls me Scotty because that's what everybody called me when I was a player, and that was many pounds and years ago. So
good times.
Yeah, exactly. They were. There was a lot of great times there and had some really fun experiences. But on behalf of the two of us, I'm T.S. Wright. And until next time, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation. And let the great harvest begin. Amen.